The Money Show. Business Unusual.
Business Unusual brought to you by Future Road, South at Africa's largest commercial truck and bus show, 27th to 30th of September at NASREC. Pre-register now for free entry. Google, it's what, nearly 20 years old? How old?
Yeah, it's going to be 19 this year. And, well, it's a company that everybody knows. You kind of think, why are you talking about Google? That's hardly a business unusual. So I've had to go for some stuff you might not know about Google. And it's a story of timing and technology and management and regulations and fun. And while I was going to start with on the 1st of September this year with the most recent update is from today. The HTC sort of announcement that it's going to just hold off on any trading with the suspicion that perhaps Google's going to buy it. The second time they've bought sort of a mobile company as they own Android, the mobile operating system, and they might want to build out their hardware for their phones. They own the Pixel, and HTC makes the Pixel, and the new one, or the new Pixels, are coming out on the 4th of October, as well as these VR goggles, etc., which HTC makes a thing called the Vive for them. So they got their hands in lots and lots of pies, and I've got a lot to tell you, and I knew you'd be distracted by that, so I thought I'm going to distract you with a Google Easter egg right now. You ever used any of them?
A what?
So Easter eggs predate Google. They're little bits of
code. Yeah, we know. We know Easter eggs. We know they're pagan symbols, and then Christianity adopted them, and it made Christianity cool in the pagan times. And now they're made of chocolate, and now you get bunnies and ducks and all sorts of things. Okay, I know what an Easter egg is, but
an Easter egg. So this is the bit of code that programmers do for each other, sort of entertainment. And when you find them, you're like, oh, that's cool. And so for your benefit, while I busy rattle off some of the amazing things Google have got up to, I'm going to ask you to go to a Google search bar.
Yes.
And type there in the two words, Atari Breakout. That's the sort of vintage game that was.
It does it all by itself, predictive text, okay. Yes. Okay.
And then you click search, and it should give you a bunch of results for Atari Breakout.
It does.
And now I want you to click the images tab. So it's all in images, and it gives you all the different various options you've got there. And that's the first of this evening's Easter eggs. It should have turned your browser.
Okay, you talk as much as you like. I'm playing.
I'm playing Breakout. Let me know what your score is. So anyway, the 1st of September this year.
Oh, it's quick. Sorry.
What? It starts off slow. You're not very good if you're
taking trouble. Sorry. I'll be quiet.
1st of September this year, Google added a new name. So we mentioned previously that they're actually called Alphabet. That's the holding company in which all the bits and pieces of Google fit. But that wasn't enough because Google's still not separated from all their other bets, as it were. So they've got a new one. It's called XXVI Holding LLC. Incorporated, sorry. In fact, it's not pronounced XXVI. It's pronounced 26 because Alphabet and 26 Roman numerals for the number of letters in the alphabet. Google, its name, that comes from a word that was created for the world's biggest number, a Google, G-O-O-G-O-L, which is a one with 100 zeros. And then Googleplex was meant to be just a ridiculously big number, which is one with a Google of numbers. But Googleplex is what Google's name is, its headquarters, a very famous sort of place, lots of fun, and people go and work from there. And so that's where that came from. And they were founded sort of in 1997. The Google.com website was registered. The two founders were studying for a PhD at Stanford University, and they came up with a new algorithm, so a new way of ranking web pages, which they registered and then looked to take to the market. And it was quite a lot better than a lot of other search engines available at the time that simply would tell you, here are all of the web pages that contain the words you included in your search result. And they called this thing PageRank, which you might think, well, that makes perfect sense because it's ranking pages. But it's actually because Larry Page was one of the two guys who did it, and he wrote up the thing. So, yeah. And Stanford still owns that painting because it was done while they were there. And here's where it starts getting crazy for the first one. So his partner, Sergey Brin, were actual PhD students. They're busy studying. And so by 1999, they figured, well, we've made the algorithm and we've launched the website. Now let's sell it to somebody and continue with our studies. And there was a bigger website around that did search engines called Excite. And I'm sure you remember it because it's still around. No, you don't, right?
Mm. No, I don't. And they, 311 on the first game, but the mice are sticky.
Okay, let's see if you can beat that one. So they offered, they wind up offering for $750,000 the entire Google code base to Excite in 1999. And Excite were like, we don't need that stuff. We're fine. We're covered. And so they said, okay, and they continued. They dropped out of their studies. They joined Eric Schmidt in 2001, who was a sort of a business guy. And that, you always need that. You need the business guy and you need the marvelous techies. And in almost every one of these stories, you've got the similar thing. And then their timing was perfect because in 2004, they launched their IPO and off they go. Since then, you know, we've just seen it get bigger and bigger and bigger. And they're now worth $550 billion. And it's Eric Schmidt who's kind of quite interesting. And now he's the executive chairman of Alphabet. And he says it was his job to manage chaos in the company, not get rid of it. And this is kind of the part where the management and ideology of the company is kind of interesting. You don't seem to agree.
No. It's absolutely brilliant because nowadays when a tech company starts up, everybody knows you need to manage chaos. These were the first guys to acknowledge that you had to manage the chaos, not stamp out the chaos, because the chaos is what made it brilliant.
Yeah, there's a great little anecdote how it came about. So he's the newly appointed big dog in the Google company. Came from Novell, which is a pretty big sort of email company. So he expected his own office. Next thing, some guy plonks himself down in his office and starts coding. And he tells him he's some chief developer or whatever else. And so he just continues working. He's like, okay, this is a strange company. And he's on a phone call chatting to the sales guys, because of course he's the business guy. He's going to make sure they're making money. They got to earn their keep. And the coder guy's overhearing the conversation, and he writes up some code to calculate how much they'll sell, and he gives them a prediction. And then he says, well, don't tell the sales guys, but I'm going to watch. And he was spot on. And so he said, hey, here I am doing one thing, not knowing that there's another guy doing this other thing. We've got to make sure people just, you know, worked together in a whole new way, because we have no idea who's got a capability of doing anything. And so they came up with this notion of 20%, which has subsequently sort of become less of a thing. But the idea was you get to set aside some time to work on whatever it is you want to do. And of course, everybody just runs out of time now. But the idea of setting aside time for people to come together and work on projects they otherwise wouldn't still has benefits for companies, for allowing that collaboration and for surfacing innovation, either from, you know, the sort of guys who are working on the ground where they're probably going to spot a great opportunity and nobody seems to want to research it further, or nobody sitting in the C-suites are really looking for new options. They're kind of looking for how do we get more sales. So that's one of the elements that they do that's quite well. And with 70,000 staff now, that's kind of hard work. So what they try and have everybody is they say 70% of your work needs to be focused on the core business. 20% of your work, you focus on things that relate to your core business. And 10% of the time now, you go and find unrelated things and we go and experiment, we go and have fun. But the way that they approach their improvements is not to say we want to make it incrementally better. You know, this notion of make it 10% more efficient. They call it 10 times thinking. So they don't assume, how could I make it just a little better? They want it 10 times better. And in the case of their work on autonomous cars, most of the other companies have been working on, you know, you not needing to use the steering wheel so much. Google said, let's get rid of it. Just get rid of the steering wheel. This car must drive itself from the get-go. And it's that kind of thinking, even though they don't roll that out. Of course, they make small improvements all the time.
In the same way as Steve Jobs was uncompromising when it came to the iPhone, saying, no, it won't have a keyboard. No, it won't have a plastic screen. It will have a glass screen. It'll have a highly sensitive glass screen that's immediately reactive to the wishes of the user. Google seems to be taking that sort of approach when it comes to driverless cars.
Right on the money. That is exactly the kind of and they start there at least, and you know, they interrogate all of the ideas. They go and find the data. They don't rely on the guy with the loudest voice or the most sort of credit. They want people to defend their decisions with data, and then they're pretty bold about how they go. And it's given them the world's most visited website. So number one for when people visit websites, that belongs to Google. And what's kind of impressive, if you go to the world's second most visited website, well, that belongs to Google too. It's YouTube. So a lot of these sort of things they've bought and acquired over the years. In fact, I've posted a list online of the number of products Google has and have discontinued. And I couldn't even count the total number. There are so many in that list because they are constantly buying, acquiring, developing, deploying, or killing products that you really do struggle sometimes to keep up.
But they don't. Yeah, I mean, they don't waste their time. I mean, it either works or it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're unemotional about it, and that's the power.
Yeah, if you always kill your worst three. That's kind of the deal. If you've got 10 projects, sure, kill the worst three, and then on you go. And, you know, keep coming up with more of them. It's been enough, though, to keep their products so top of mind and so front of mind for everybody that it is now the most valuable brand in the world. It used to be Apple for the last 5 years. Yeah. This year replaced by Google, valued at $109 billion. Their revenues, which is not bad, and this is the bit where it does get a little less, you know, fantastical, because the search ad results, the display ads on websites, and the ads from YouTube make up 99% of all their revenue. And they do lots of stuff, the maps, the Androids, and, you know, literally hundreds of companies.
They will find ways of getting money out of us. We have to leave it there, Colin. Where can we find out more?
A whole lot more is online, the full history, and pretty impressive to see how much Google has done in the last 19 years and what it's likely to get up to in the next 20.
Okay, you haven't asked me.
Oh, what was the score?
I'm still on the second game. I've got one little block left, and it's gone. 451.
That's not bad.
That was exhausting.
Well, there's the challenge for everybody. Try and beat 451.
Oh, no, please. There are people, you know, who can't see the screen who could do better than that because they weren't at a sticky office mouse. Colin Cullis with Business Unusual on The Money Show.